Still Unknown, a ministry of Carmen United Church in City Mines. My name is Reverend Nick Phillips, and today we are looking at Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Oh Lord, as we gather in your house of worship this day, may we be reminded of your love for us, your grace, and your mercy. May you speak to our hearts. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock, our strength, and our Redeemer. Amen. On Thursday evening, I received a note from an old friend that a classmate had passed away that afternoon. Jeff and I played 3 years of basketball together. We won a couple of provincial championships together. I don't think I know of anyone who worked harder at the game, who was more committed to the game, and had a better head for the game than my friend Jeff. Now, we haven't seen or talked to one another since graduation, so I don't know really what his life has been like for the last 25 years. I know he went on to play for the Dalhousie Tigers, where he was an All-Canadian and AUS MVP a number of times. But after that, I really don't know what happened with the rest of his life until just a couple days ago when I heard he passed away. What I do know, though, is that his death actually impacted me harder than I thought it would for someone I haven't seen in over 25 years. Probably because we are the same age. We had similar passions in school. We went into battle together many times on the basketball court. So you remember people like that. Just like I remember all my teammates from those years. Pretty much all of them I have no contact with right now. Some for good reason, some simply because back in the 90s, it was a lot harder to keep in touch with people than it is now. Especially when after graduation, your family ups and moves to another place. So of course, my prayers are with his family, his wife, and all those around him, teammates from the past and all those who remember him. He was a great man, and in reading the condolences online, it's clear that he remained to be a great man for all of his days. I know I found out that he also has been suffering from health issues lately, and we all know how difficult that can be at times. Thinking of Jeff reminds me of the times that we feel like we're on the mountaintop. We're on the top of the world. Or at least we feel like we're there. Winning championships and titles, those are great feelings. And I know Jeff felt those feelings in university as well. And when we're in those moments, we want to stay there. We want to savor these moments and hold on to them and keep that feeling. But life, though, life is not lived on the mountaintop. Eventually, we have to come back down. And life in the valley is not always easy. Bev and I looked at our busy schedules this month, and we're disappointed to realize that we're not going to get around the Cabot Trail this year in the fall. We're not going to get around to see the colors. And so we sat down Monday morning and looked at the weather for the week and said, well, it looks like today is the day. Where are we going to go? So we decided to hike up Cox Heath Mountain. We have forgotten how steep it is when you start at the base to climb up. And it is hard work to get up there. But once you hit the top, there's a pretty decent view waiting for you. You can see Sydney and all the way down and across. It also just so happened that neither one of us were at our peak performance last Monday. And so getting up there was a lot of work, certainly more than we were probably ready to expend last Monday morning. But it was pretty much worth it to get to the top and see the view and all the colors before us. It was nice, too, that once we get up to the higher elevation and the trail leveled out, to actually be able to talk to one another, given that I had been away at a retreat last weekend, and we had been apart for a few days. So it was nice to have that opportunity to catch up and stroll through the woods. However, we decided the next time we decide to go to Coxix Mountain, we're going to take the back way, which is, we're told, is much, much easier. Hiking up and down mountains is not easy. It uses muscles we probably didn't know we had before. But the reward when you get to the top is often worth it. I mean, we can name all kinds of trails in Cape Breton that are like that, where you just hike and hike and hike, but then you come out to a clearing or an opening and you're just in awe of what's before you. You know, Franey, Middle Head, Skyline, all those great trails. And we can name many, many more in Cape Breton. We live in a beautiful place, that's for sure. And when you get out into that moment, you just wish you could stay there, don't you? You know, you get to that peak and you say, wow, let's build a house here. Let's stay. But you know you can't. Work or other life realities slip in, and so you have to come back down into the valley. James and John, in our reading from Mark today, are living on the mountaintop. They've been following Jesus. They've been seeing him do miracles. They've been hearing him teach. They're his best friends. So why wouldn't they want to hold on to that? What could be better than that? I mean, they're front row seats to the best show in all of history with the greatest man who ever lived. That's pretty special. And so at one point they come to Jesus and they make a request. They ask him, well, they say, come to us. James and John say, grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory. Now, can you blame them for wanting to ask that question? After hanging out with Jesus, can you blame them for making that request to sit at his right and left for all of eternity? They're no doubt realizing that they've got it good right now. This is the time of their lives. They are never, ever going to experience something like this ever again. And Jesus, he's been hinting that he's not going to be around much longer. So they want to stay there. They're, after all, following Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So why would anyone want this to end? Part of the problem is they're asking to stay on the mountaintop, to live there. Life is so good right now, they cannot picture themselves going back to the way things were before. And yet, Jesus says, I'm not going to be here much longer. So let's try to extend it. Let's make it last forever. So Jesus takes this moment to teach them more about himself and what they are asking, but also what they are gaining just by being in his presence, by being his followers. Jesus says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Or to be baptized with the baptism to which I've been baptized? And of course, James and John, they agree. They've been eating with Jesus for a few years now. Of course they can share in his cup. Of course they can be part of his baptism. Why wouldn't they be? What silly questions for Jesus to ask. And Jesus says, yes, you can share my cup. Yes, you can share my baptism. But who sits at my side for all eternity, that's not mine to grant. That decision is made by someone else. God's the one that's writing out the RSVP cards to put on the tables, the place cards. Now, the other disciples, they're getting a little bit upset on this, and you can understand why, I think. What makes James and John think they're so important that they get to sit in better seats than us? Who do they think they are, anyway? And then Jesus says, it's not his seats to give away? You mean we might not get those seats for ourselves? Well, that pretty much ruined a perfect day now, didn't it? But then Jesus takes a moment to help them understand a bit more about what he's offering his disciples. He says, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And the great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. In essence, what he's saying is, look, see how the world treats power and authority? You want to be like them? No, you don't want to be like them, no. You want people to treat you that way? No, you must be humble. You must serve others first. Now, of course, this flies in the face of the way we see power and authority, leadership. When we get power and authority, we automatically, it's our nature to kind of try to make use of it. Oh, could you go do this for me? Could you, tell people what to do, right? We like to do that. I heard this said recently about good leadership. Actually, Meryl shared it with me last weekend. It's a quote from author E.M. Kelly. A boss says go. A leader says, let's go. Jesus is inviting his friends to be new leaders in this great movement he's starting up. A movement that will bring people back into relationship with God. Only this new kind of leadership looks very different than the example of leadership they are seeing in the world, and even what we're still seeing today, than traditional methods of leadership. A leader is one who walks with people. As Christians, we could be saying, yeah, this is all sounds wonderful. We're experiencing God here this morning. We're going to do great things. God's going to do great things. And we could leave this church and start to tell people what's wrong with their lives and how they can give themselves to Jesus and how they need God in their lives. The problem is, if we go out and start telling people what's wrong with their lives and how they can fix it, they're going to look at us and say, what makes you think you're so great? What about all the flaws in your life? And they've got a point, don't they? So what if instead of leaving the church and going out and pointing out in judgment the flaws of other people, we walked out as a church and said, hey, I'm from Carmen United Church. How can I help? I think that's the kind of leadership model Jesus is asking us to model, to take on in our lives. That instead of going out and talking judgment, go out and share in love, the same love that he has offered to us. Now last weekend, I got to be part of the men's Curcio, and we had a fantastic weekend. Didn't we, John? Yep, there you go. We ate too much food. We sang far too loudly. We laughed way too much. And we felt the experience of, and we felt the presence of God in a very, very powerful way. We did this by welcoming God among us, but also serving one another in many different ways for an entire weekend. It was another mountaintop moment. There's a few times I heard a couple of the men say, this weekend is so great, but you know what's wrong? We have to go home on Sunday. We were very much aware that this mountaintop experience that we were on over last weekend was only going to last a couple of days before we had to go back into the valley. So we wanted to hold on to that feeling, right? Don't we all want to hold on to that feeling? We wanted to stay together to continue to eat too much and laugh too hard and sing too loud. We wanted to also to hold on to the amazing presence of our God that we were feeling together. It would just be perfect if we could like bottle it up and bring it home with us, right? But that's not the way faith works. We come into the presence of God many, many different ways. We could experience it on a retreat. My hope is that we experience God here most Sundays, if not all. We can experience God through prayer. Maybe we can experience God on a walk through the woods on a nice fall day. Whatever way we experience God. But what we do know is that when we find him in these powerful moments, we want to hold on for as long as we can. We don't want to let go. There's nothing wrong with wanting that. And we should always remember that God is with us on the mountaintops and in the valleys. On the mountaintop, we're reminded of God's powerful presence, his work, and his love, which then enables us to go back into the valley. These mountaintops help us help remind ourselves that we actually, when we're getting down deep in the valley, that we need to come out once in a while and find that connection with God to get back to the mountaintop, even though we can't live there. Those mountaintop moments, they inspire us. They pump us up. They get us excited about Jesus, about our faith, about serving God. But those mountaintop moments, they also remind us that we are servants of God, just as Jesus was servant to many people. The mountaintop reminds us that we need to be humble. Because when we get into the valley, it's hard. It's very easy to fall into the trap of being all self-righteous and bossy, and then we depend on ourselves more than we ought to. On the mountaintop, we are reminded of the greatness of God. But we're also reminded that we are not God, and that we need to put our trust in him so that we can best live our days when we're back in the valley. Life is a balance. We spend a lot of time in the valley, and we also need to recognize we need to balance that out by getting to the mountaintop once in a while. To remind ourselves of the awesome love of God in our lives, which enables us to follow Jesus when we do go back into those valleys. Think of how Jesus spent his days serving people, healing them. It would have been exhausting and hard work. But even then, when things were really busy, Jesus took a moment pretty well every day to go to the mountaintop, to go off to be alone, to pray, and to connect with God so that he would be able to do everything else he had done. He needed those. If Jesus needed a mountaintop experience, if Jesus needed to go connect with God once in a while as the Son of God, then how much more do we need that same in our lives today? Jesus is our example. He is our brother. He is our friend. He is our Savior. He finished off his teaching with this in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave his life in service as a humble servant, for all of us. He gave his life so that we would know the grace of our God. He gave his life so that we who seek him and follow him can find life with him and our Father in heaven for all eternity. Now, granted, we may not get to have the seat next to Jesus on the right or to the left. In fact, we probably won't. But we're at the table. We're at the table. And that should be enough. That is the promise of Jesus to all who follow him, that they will be with him at the table, God's table, for all eternity. And there's no better reward than that. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you lead us and you guide us. You teach us how to serve our brothers and sisters who are all around us, people at work, people in the store, people on the street, people everywhere. You came to serve us all, Lord Jesus, so that we would know how to serve each other. We thank you for your life, a life given for our own and given for all God's children here on this earth. So Jesus, let us see your greatness on this mountaintop and help us to carry this joy, this love, this excitement back into the valley, where we seek to carry out what you ask us to do. It's not always easy, but we thank you, Jesus, for showing us that even in the valley, we are never separated from the love of our Father in heaven. So bless us and walk with us. We pray in your strong and powerful name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.